Sorry.
Sorry, terrible.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I really appreciate it. No, it's okay. It really is. I just wanted to give you a heads up because the folks who are coming in after, unfortunately, are back to back.
Yeah, no.
So, never enough time to meet, is there?
Yeah. Then we run you really tight, and then you guys are juggling, and something falls down, and then we blame you. So it's
perfectly okay. Just wanted to give you a heads up, and I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to what is, I guess, sort of a part two, although really a separate session, on the DNS Risk Management Framework Working Group that was put together by the board. A few things we want to do this morning. The purpose here is to report on what we have done since Costa Rica when we had a workshop on the topic and where we got some really useful feedback, and to talk about two things with the intention of really validating with the community the work that's been done so far and the direction we're going. So the first thing to talk about is... If I back up, the first thing I should do is introduce myself for the scribes. I'm Bill Graham, chair of the working group, and I'll introduce the working group members in a minute. So the first thing is to look at our operational definition of the DNS, just to make sure that you understand that. We spent quite a bit of effort on that because obviously we decided that having a very, very clear definition was critical before we moved to getting a study done. We felt any muddiness in that area could only cost us money and reduce the quality of the product. And the second thing we want to talk about are the tasks that we'll be putting out in an RFP to get the study done. And the purpose, again, is to kind of use this as a reality check before we launch that. So first, I'd like to introduce the working group members. I'm Bill Graham. I'm chairing the working group. Ray Polzak on the side here is a fellow board member. Ram Mohan, is Ram with us? No, I don't think so. Anyways, Ram is the SSAC liaison to the board. Suzanne Wolf on my left here is the RSAC liaison. Suzanne, wave your arms. Patrick Falstrom, the SSAC chair. Bill Woodcock, who is CEO of Packet Clearinghouse, who unfortunately can't be with us today. And Roloff Meyer, CEO of SIDN. Roloff, I saw him earlier, but I don't know. Okay. Anyways, Roloff's been pretty active in this work so far as well. The thing I need to say at the outset is that this is not intended to be a long project. This is intended to be a short-term project. We hope to have it done probably shortly after the next ICANN meeting. The intention of this group is to scope the work for a consultant and to bootstrap a risk management framework, which we will then hand off to staff as an ongoing project. So the objective for this group is not to actually do the work, but to make sure that staff has what it needs in order to institute a risk management function as part of the operations of ICANN. So just to be very, very clear about that. Next slide, please. So this is really about what we've done since Costa Rica. The first thing, we met in Amsterdam fortuitously. A number of us were there for a meeting and did some work on definitions, and I'll turn to Suzanne to walk you through what we've decided, and then we'll get your views on that. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, Bill. I think it's important sort of to start with a point that Bill made and kind of picking up on it and emphasizing a little bit, that it was very, very important to us as a group providing framing and oversight to a staff effort that we do anticipate to be recurring. We anticipate that this will be undertaken once initially, but also revisited regularly. And it seemed very important to us to have some basic definitions in place to support a valid, understandable scope around this recurring effort. Because of the way people use the words, it can be very difficult to do that, but we took a stab at defining DNS and limiting the scope of this effort as certain definitions of functions and qualities, and limiting further. I believe it's in one of the slides that we're only talking within ICANN's operational and I guess, oversight remit. So it's limited both to specific things that go on in the world around DNS and to things that ICANN is specifically involved in, responsible for, has an influence over. And it seemed to us that the intersection of those things, big as they both are, was likely to at least be manageable as far as defining this work and, frankly, being able to tell when we're done with this exercise and with any given iteration of actually executing. The other thing is, I believe a lot of this work came out of some discussion in Costa Rica in the workshop when a couple of us realized that within the ICANN context, we talk across each other a lot because we come from very different perspectives of what these words mean. So if there's 40 people in this room, there's at least 27 definitions of the DNS, depending on whether you're an IETF protocol type person with a certain set of experiences or an operator or a policy person for a registry. There are just so many different ways of using the term, so we thought that we wanted good and accurate definitions, but even more than that, we just wanted a definition for some of these terms that could be agreed to. So it seemed that we got it down to a few basic elements, the first of which, and I'm a techie, so the ordering of these probably reflects my experience more than anything else, but the ordering is not the important point here. But to many of the people that have worked, particularly within risk management and risk assessment and so on, one of the key components, when they talk about the DNS, often they're referring to DNS protocol. To a techie, that's what's specified in RFCs. It's implemented by software developers, so when you hear us talk about particular software that implements the DNS, this is what we're talking about. The process of how names are resolved into numbers or other resources, the sequence of communications that takes place between computers. To us, that's largely within the scope of the IETF and a certain set of documents. And it has nothing to do, the key point for us here is that it has nothing to do with the semantics or meaning of names. DNS protocol works the same way for any name, regardless of what that name means to humans or in the context of a lot of the policy work that goes on here. It is critical to understanding DNS functions and operation and risks, but it is entirely separate from policy as it's usually practiced here. Next, please. The next clear set of issues or collection of elements is, again, very technical and operational, but in some ways slightly less so. It has to do with DNS data and policies around it. This is where you start to get more into policy concerns and where they interact with the technology. DNS data is specified in RFCs. It's stuff like how do you do DNSSEC is with a certain set of data attached to your DNS protocol. This is where registries, registrars, governments, where IANA is making rules determining what goes into the root zone. This is DNS data. And again, in a fairly technical definition, DNS data is what's in the DNS is a global distributed database. DNS data is what we access through the protocol. Next. Again, as a separate realm, DNS operations is carried out by registry operators, server operators. When we talk about Anycast, that's the scope. Server location and provisioning, best practices, operating system, security of operations, issues of that kind. And again, that's separate from protocol. It's separate from data. It's the concern usually of a very different set of people with very different priorities. The priority typically here with operations is uptime and resisting DOS attacks, and server danger, server damage. The idea behind separating these elements, this makes clear, we hope, the different aspects of the DNS in its global sense. The important thing is that there are different constituencies, risks, and imports. It says there are imports, but I think what I meant was impacts, depending on whether you're, what risks you're talking about, who gets hurt, who can prevent them, which is often different across these parameters, who can tell what can be done differently, and where the assessment has to be of where damage would be done and what damage would be done. These are, however, very rough. They're somewhat, they are biased technically, but we understood that to be the working group's remit. But it's important when looking at these to make sure that they're understandable in the context of how the work is going to be applied, which is not strictly the technical context. So we think it's important to have distinctions of this kind, and these are a good place to start, but we're interested in feedback on how to refine the taxonomy there. And we can go on. We can discuss now or go on to the other section and save discussion for later. Yours, your call.
Thank you, Suzanne. I think it's a good idea to stop here and discuss this section. The idea, as you will have noticed, is to stay pretty narrowly focused in this definition, and that's because of the purpose of the exercise, which is to make sure that what we have is implementable within ICANN. That isn't to say that if the study turns up things relevant to entities outside of ICANN, we wouldn't draw that to their attention quite deliberately. But really, the notion is to have implementable recommendations within ICANN. Any comments on this definition?
I think we've scared them away.
You are frightening sometimes, Suzanne. It's
true. Especially this late in an ICANN meeting.
Okay. Well, if there are no comments, I'll take that as a definition of success, and we'll move forward to talk about the next stage in this, which is to look at the tasks that are specified for a request for proposals that we intend to launch quite soon to do a study. I want here to acknowledge, and I probably should have done this at the outset, the tremendous work that's being done by ICANN staff, particularly Patrick Jones, Chris Mondini, and Jeff Moss have been helpful in this, so I do want to acknowledge that. And with that, I would like to turn the discussion over to Patrick Jones to lead us through these tasks, please. Patrick?
Okay. For the transcript, it's Patrick Jones. Go to the next slide. So we've identified that the tasks in the proposed RFP for the consultant are to develop an inventory of risks to the DNS and come up with those that are within and outside the scope of ICANN's mandate and operational responsibilities. We've included in the staff assessment a timeline of the proposed activity, a sample RFP that can be posted after this meeting, as well as links to prior work on DNS security that may be useful to the consultant in the effort. The consultant will use this information to conduct an impact analysis on the internal and external factors that would affect the performance of the functions that are maintained by ICANN. Next slide. And then analyze the severity of the impact and identify what measures ICANN needs to put into place to potentially mitigate those factors that are identified. I've already jumped ahead and mentioned the things that were in the staff assessment. I've mentioned to some of the members of the working group that the timeline of the proposed activity is maybe somewhat aggressive for identifying a consultant and getting that consultant to develop an initial framework. But since we are planning to post the RFP after this meeting and hopefully identify a expert that can assist in this effort within the next 2 months, so within August and September, and to provide a response to the tasks that are in the RFP in advance of the ICANN meeting in Toronto. So, Bill, I want to turn it back to you.
Yeah, I think we've gone through these, Patrick. Thank you. So that's where we are at the moment. I would invite any comments on particularly on the tasks, see whether you think we've missed anything that we ought to be doing as part of this study. And I'm assuming you've had a chance to review the document that was posted a couple of weeks ago on the website that went through this in detail. So please feel free to comment on any of that content as well.
Bill Manning for the transcript. Patrick, you indicated a fairly short suspense for between RFP release and selection of consultant. Do you have any expectation about the duration or period of performance?
Yes. So in the draft that was posted, we had a proposed timeline for a delivery of initial report to staff in mid-November of this year. This was sort of a first attempt at a timeline. And then publication of a report and framework for community consideration, depending on the consultation with the community, sometime in January of 2013. And but again, I think this timeline is aggressive, and that some of this will come out of the responses that are received and the engagement with the potential experts that are interested in this work.
Good. Thank you, Patrick. Chris, did you have something? Ah, okay. Just pointing out a seat. Roloff Meyer has joined us, so I think we've got everyone but Bill Woodcock with us now from the working group. Any other comments on the tasks or the timelines? Mikey? Thanks.
Thanks, Bill. Mikey O'Connor for the transcript. I'm going to put Patrick on the spot because Patrick supports our group and this group. Couple of questions for you. One is there anything, well, a two-part question that's really the same question. Is there anything that the DSSA can do to help this? And B, is there anything that the DSSA could do to get in the way of this? Not with the goal in mind of getting in the way of it, but to stay out of your way. Sorry, I wasn't a little ambiguous there. Didn't mean to frame that badly.
So one thing that would be helpful is on the list of tasks, if the DSSA has, suggestions on the tasks that could be included with the assessment. I would also defer to the members of the board level working group to see where they think that external efforts like the DSSA may be useful. I mean, we have included, I will note in the draft RFP, there's a section on prior work. This would be updated to include a link to the DSSA report, assuming there is a final report to point people to, as well as to the final report of the SSRT. And in addition, we have our FY13 SSR framework. So there's a number of documents that have been published over the last month or shorter, and those would go in this as guidance for the assessment.
Thanks, Mikey and Patrick. Alejandro, please.
Thank you, Bill, and I'm glad to hear what Patrick just said. This is a great opportunity for ICANN to royally tick off a lot of its community members if it doesn't appear to read and assess the work that the community has already provided into this. I would seem an interested party here speaking on behalf of the great effort that the review team for SSR did, and Mikey is also a speaker for the DSSA. We would not necessarily be claiming for respect for the results of our work, but certainly I think there's a bunch of people who could be ticked off royally. If this is read by the community or it's expressed in a way that allows a reading that, well, the SRT and the DSSA are external, as Patrick just said, we'll just hire a consultant to actually do the real work. That, I hope, is not the message that gets transmitted.
Thanks for making that point, Alejandro. It's certainly not the intention of this working group to do that. We fully recognize both the amount, the number of parts of the community who are interested in this, the amount of work that's already been done, and the quality of the work that's been done. So I think on a very practical point, if you can review the list of materials that we're suggesting as background. If you see anything missing, please suggest it, because we want that to be a living list and one that that is used as really foundational material for the work, because I agree there's no point reinventing any wheels here. Patrick?
Yeah, I didn't mention it before, but this effort is an important part of meeting the recommendation 25, 26, 27 that are in the SSRT final report. So looking ahead to implementation, that this would go towards the staff meeting some of the recommendations that have been proposed.
Thanks, Patrick. Alejandro, you had a follow-up?
Thank you. Yes, Bill. I'm glad that Patrick even knows by heart or had his notes for the numbers of the recommendations. The importance of the work of this working group cannot be underlined enough. And I will not do that, but also be very specific about an aspect of it. The importance of the board owning this task is huge. It came across every interview, every document, every piece of feedback that we could get during the work of the SSRRT. It was actually quite shocking for us as we started our work to see that the board had removed from the ESSAC, from the Stability and Security Advisory Committee, which is a permanent body, had removed from them the responsibility for providing the risk framework. I'm very heartened that the board decided to form a working group at the board level, that it designated its members, that had it chaired by Bill Graham. These are all very positive signs. For us, it was also, I'll speak only for myself, but there's a we in there I can be responsible for. We were dismayed to see that this was becoming a kind of meta level task, as often happens at the board level. There's a sound interruption for those listening from away. This was what we hope was a small accident here in the room. We understand that this has to be, that the board has to take more of a procedural approach than a substantive approach when creating this group and kicking off its work. But we definitely, I mean, I will definitely be very emphatic here. It has to be owned by at the board level. The results, whatever the consultant does, whatever the feedback, community, discussion, et cetera, processes bring you, ownership of the security framework, risk, of the risk framework by the board is vital.
Thank you for that, Alex. And we are very much aware of that. That's why, rather than simply handing off this the task, we've created this working group. And I don't mean by saying that, you know, we're not actually doing the work. That doesn't mean that we don't own the work. That's precisely the point and precisely why it's located at the board level. Thanks. Mikey.
This is Mikey O'Connor again. I did take a look at the task list, and I have an idea or two about that. And it relates back to the diagrams that we drew in the DSSA work, in that the task list focuses primarily on an assessment followed by developing a list of things to do based on that assessment. Is it safe to say that one of the things to do could turn out to be put in place an ongoing monitoring function? You know, a lot of the things that we put on our little diagram, the risk planning, the risk monitoring, blah, 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 all those other things. I'm wondering whether it would be useful to add some of those items to the remit, or at least to the RFP, to let the consultant know that the bounds of their work, especially in the suggestions phase, includes a broader array of things to do than just risk assessment. Because, you know, when a fellow reads that task list, it's pretty easy to see that task list as just doing a risk assessment. And I don't think that's your intent. And so I think it's a tweaking thing rather than a giant philosophical debate thing, but I'm just curious about that.
Thanks, Mikey. That's useful. Roloff, please.
Thank you, Bill. First of all, my apologies for being so late. I tried to get a mail across. I had to attend to some urgent staff matter. I couldn't make it in time. You're completely right, and I think you mean this diagram. I first saw it during the CCNSO presentation of the DSSA, and I think it's exactly what should be the outcome. So my gratitude and my compliment for the work you did, and we'll definitely, I haven't discussed it with my fellow team members, but I'm sure that this is the basis of the whole framework.
Good, thank you. Ram, please.
Thank you. This is Ram Mohan. This is just a quick response to Alejandro's comments. I think one of the things that will be very helpful is as the charter and as the specific tasks do come out, would really need assistance in getting even more specific feedback as to the level, whether we need to up level or whether we need to, you know, go a little lower. So I think your framing comments here are helpful, but we need more help when the document is ready, so that we can get specific input that can then be converted into a staff task. But I think one thing we can assure you, or I certainly that I will work inside of this working group, the board working group, is to ensure that we don't execute on having a consultant or having a group go and do the work without prior having, you know, you folks who have relevant input from the community be able to weigh in and be able to review that prior to moving forward. So I think that's something that that's certainly our intent, and I intend to follow through on that.
Okay, thank you, Ram. I couldn't agree more. We have a question in the chat room, please.
Thank you. Rosella, I'm sorry, I don't know her last name, Mattioli?
Mattioli.
Do you intend to develop also a business continuity plan or guidelines for the DNS operations? I refer to slide definition C and task in the second bullet.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Do we intend to work on business, creating a business continuity plan for DNS operations, as implied by that bullet? So,
Suzanne Wolf, please.
Sure, thanks. I don't see this work as being to develop continuity plans of that kind so much as to point out where they might be needed, particularly within ICANN's remit, both for ICANN itself and for areas where it has influence or responsibility. There's a lot of things that where ICANN needs to distinguish between where it is in a position to enable and support others in doing work and doing the work itself. And I believe that the dividing line for that particular thing is along the lines much more of helping people identify the needs for such planning than to do it.
Thanks. Ram, please.
Thank you. This is Ram Mohan. To continue from where Suzanne left off, I think our task is a little bit different. The task is not to go build a business continuity plan, but is to really understand what are the triggers that require what kinds of continuity plans. And it's not just business continuity. In some cases, you have operational continuity, so on and so forth. And individual operations that ICANN is directly involved in some areas do have well-defined plans. But I think the real intent should be to determine what are the thresholds for the creation of such plans, because in some cases it might be a trivial task and may not require some sort of a plan like that. So what is a minimum kind of a defining threshold might be one question to have defined. And the second thing is, what kind of continuity plan? And the third question, which is really a follow-on to the second, is a continuity plan in a pure organizational construct assumes that that organization and its members are the ones who execute on such a plan. We're not in that environment here. And therefore, we need to consider that and figure out how to get to plans that manage to involve the appropriate qualified community members while at the same time not, you know, making this a boil the ocean type of an exercise.
Thank you. Roloff, please.
It's definitely not a task of the working group, but generally speaking, a risk management framework or a security management system would include business continuity plans for critical services. So if ICANN has critical services, and I think I can come up with a few, it would be logic that the framework includes business continuity plans for those services, but it's not a task of this working group.
Right, if I may, yeah, it's not a task for the working group. It is a task for ICANN. It is not, but the scope here is also ICANN as an organization and its specific responsibilities and requirements.
Good. Thank you. Mikey, please.
This is Mikey for the transcript. Just sort of a nitty-gritty question. Patrick, remind me, the sequence of events is an RFP is going to go out. How soon and how... I guess where I'm headed is the beginnings of things is really important, because if we launch it on the right track, we'll get to the right place. If we launch it on the wrong track, we won't get there. And the RFP is a very defining document for getting us off on the right foot. And so I think my concern is that we may rush through getting an RFP out the door quicker than we should. I understand the need to appear responsive and move quickly and be decisive and all that good stuff. But if we could maybe tune this RFP with a little bit of input from Alejandro's gang and our gang, we might be able to get closer to the mark on the first try. So I'm just curious, have we got a little room in here to take a look at the RFP before it goes?
Yep. Yes, so I'll channel some things that I've heard already and include some of the good documentation from some of these other efforts and update the RFP and socialize that with the board level working group.
Timing? Weeks? Months? What do we got here? Probably not months, right?
Well, the original plan was to get it out roughly a week from now. If there are substantive comments, I completely agree with you. It's more important to get it right than to get it out fast. So, but that said, I think leaving it too long is a challenge. Now, I know after these meetings, a lot of people like to go and hide in a dark corner for a while, and I completely relate to that. But nonetheless, I'd hate to see it drag on more than 2 or 3 weeks at the outside. Thank you. Follow on, please, Mikey.
Yeah, let me just tie this off. I'm only planning to spend 8 or 9 hours on the plane tomorrow, and then I'm fully out of dark corners. So if you know, I and you know, a lot of the DSSA folks are sort of rabidly enthusiastic about this stuff, so I think we could turn comments around pretty fast with the full expectation that you can take them or leave them, but we may be able to offer some tuning that can get you closer to the mark.
Good. Thank you. Much appreciated. Any other comments on the content or the process involved? I would emphasize here that the timeline that you see in the assessment we've recognized is a little ambitious. I still very much want to have some substance to report in Toronto, and then at the really, really trying not to have this carry on much past the subsequent meeting next April. So you know, while we'll deal with reality, barring any glitches that might get in the way, we'll still try and hold this on a pretty tight time frame. I don't see any other comments, so last call. Okay, well, we've got the transcript, and I've taken pretty extensive notes on your comments here, so very much appreciated. I particularly appreciate the interest and willingness of people to help us with this, particularly the DSSA and the review team, the offer to take a final look through the RFP draft is very much appreciated, and we'll look forward to those contributions. Again, I really appreciate the contributions of staff as well. I think it's fair to say that the organization is committed to getting this function up and running. We do want to do it right, so we will take the time that it needs to do that, and we'll report back. Certainly not later than Toronto. I hope we'll have some things up for consideration before that. Thank you.